Just God, we so desire that we would humbly listen and commit our hearts to being your disciple, that we would understand more today than we did yesterday about what this life of discipleship entails for us, and that perhaps those things that we have considered to be up are really down, and those things that are down are really up. So help us, God, to know that this life that you have brought to us is a life to be lived with courage, not timidity, but truly a sense of your Spirit in us. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. So I don't know if this week you happened to hear about a man whose name is Muhammad Anas, A-N-A-S. But Muhammad became famous this week, and not for the best of reasons. You see, Muhammad is a football player on the South African team, the Free State team. And this week, he actually was the star of the game, and he was so excited as he was interviewed after the game, and he had an opportunity to thank all of those who had helped him to be this great athlete. And so he thanked his wife, which you would probably expect, but then he also thanked his girlfriend. Of course, that didn't play out too well with the missus. There was this shudder around the world as this proclamation was made. Now, to be fair to him, he did try to cover it up later by saying that he calls their daughter his girlfriend. You can sort that one out. But what I want us to truly reflect upon in our own lives this day is who we are on the inside. Who are we when you strip away the job title or what grade you're in or whom you're married to? Or the car that you drive, or where you live in this world. Where will we find your heart? To whom would your heart be truly committed? We have many choices in this lifetime. The words that we say, the decisions that we make, the money that we spend, how we parent, how we are a friend, the kind of colleague that we find ourselves to be. So much of this life hinges on who we are from the inside, the choices that we make. We can live a life in which we come to the end of it, our earthly life, and there can be that sense of regret. Looking back, there's been all sorts of studies, right, on how people wish they would have spent more time with their loved ones and worried less about their paycheck. All sorts of regret about how they've handled relationships, all sorts of regret about how they've looked at their finances, how they wish they would have been more generous. They wish they would have made those words matter instead of hurt, matter in a positive way. The passage that we are studying today certainly seems to go along right with the dreariness that's outside. This very strong message that it matters in our lifetime how we spend our resources, or on the other side, how we keep them to ourselves. There's two important questions, I think, here in this text to consider. First of all, is who in our lives are we stepping over? Think about this rich man who's not named, but we know that he dressed to the best and he ate the best meals. Probably a busy guy, right? Serving his region in that royal manner. But each day he would pass by the gate into his beautiful home and he would step over Lazarus, this poor man covered in sores who didn't even have the strength to gather those crumbs, and instead the dogs would come and lick his sores. It's just a pitiful picture to us. But it makes us really think, makes us uncomfortable and awkward, because it's so easy to step over and past those who we seem to think may be less than us. It's hard for us to imagine that there are those people around us that we don't even notice. And the second question I want us to think about is, where do we find any good news in this very difficult passage? When a preacher goes for their first day of homiletics class, the message is always, every Sunday, you're out there to proclaim good news, not to depress people, not to make people go to sleep, but rather to tell them this good, good news. So we're going to get to that. But before we get there, I want us to consider, what does it mean to have the kind of compassion that Abraham is so desiring in this passage? He's displaying it, actually, right? To Lazarus, to this poor man. He's carrying him, giving him comfort. Compassion is defined, a noun, a feeling of deep sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Alleviate the suffering. Missions is often how we at Westminster consider what it means to alleviate the suffering. We look around us in the world and in our community and we think about how can we reach out and bring compassion. Now, you know, obviously, as the daughter of missionaries, that missions is always close to this preacher's heart. But I want us to make that box even bigger. And I want us to think about the fact that missions, it's more than 10% of our budget. It's really everything, everything that we as a church here at Westminster are committed to. Every cent that's given is given to make that difference, to plant the seeds that grow around us. We're called, right, to be that compassionate seed that strikes at the heart of where people are hurting. Take time today. Take time to list the people in your lives, maybe the ones that you share a home with, and you don't even know what's hurting in them today. Check in with them. The people that you perhaps gather in the lunchroom, at work, or the people that you care for in your jobs or work with, to take the time to just ask, how are you? To press a little deeper than just talking about the Cubs and spring training or how it rained all weekend. We're called to care. This rich man, you kind of want to give him some grace, right? Maybe he had just a really busy daytimer. But the good news for us is that, like those brothers that the rich man wants to save, we still have time to listen to God. And not just to listen, but to actually live out this challenge. To not just be thinking about ourselves all the time, but to look around us with that sense of compassion. Today, you may actually feel like Lazarus. You may be the person who's being stepped over. And so don't ever hesitate to reach out and to ask for that help and that compassion. None of us are whole. There is broken places in all of us. Be vulnerable enough to admit it. Have that courage to know that God calls us to continue on this journey, to be well and to reach out when we need that help. This is a difficult text because we're not quite sure what to do with this. If we feel convicted like the rich man that we have a lot, we got our tax return back and we actually owe, there's no refund coming. And we wonder, how, oh God, do we spend? How do we make those around us a priority? Yes, it's about money. There's no hiding the fact that God cares how we spend our allowance. God cares how we spend our tax return if it's there. Our paycheck. It matters. Don't think for a minute that it doesn't matter. God cares about what we do with what God gives us. It's all God's. And God also cares about the words that we offer to others and the time that we spend. As I was finishing up this sermon last night and had the call from the funeral director that our dear friend Hugh Wormley had passed on to glory, my heart immediately was touched by a memory of Hugh at our community breakfast on Saturday morning. An opportunity in which we can meet many Lazarus. And Hugh would always come early, about 7:30, in his Mr. Rogers sweater, looking sharp. And he would go around and he would greet everyone that came to the breakfast. It didn't matter what they looked like, how they smelled, how much money they had in their billfold. Hugh wanted them to know that they mattered. This Saturday morning, April 1st, you could start your day not like a fool, but like a disciple. And come to the community breakfast here in your own church. Honor Hugh's memory. Walk around and talk to people. Come tonight to First Press, Sunday supper. Sign up to help every Sunday night. There's an opportunity to meet Lazarus. This sermon's not about guilt. It's about life. It's about love. Hear Paul's words to Timothy. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. It's interesting that self-discipline is over even love. What is it that we have to give up in order to be that generous soul that plants seeds, that shares our money? That prays for those who are broken. We're going to sing a song, a refrain in response. Neil Peterson is going to sing the verses, and then he's going to invite you. And I hope that as you join in heart and song, that you clearly with your mind commit that God has given you breath. Make a difference. Turn this world upside down because God loves you and gives you that spirit to do so. Let us stand and sing together. The refrain is printed in your bulletin as Neil comes. Prepare your heart to sing with courage and strength. Thanks.